Good Sunday morning. This is Mike Sarig, the voice of Vital Ministries, and it is good to be with you today. Just another weekend of what I would call the big snows that have come in from last weekend to this weekend, and now on top of the snow, we got the frigid weather. And but hey, it is Iowa, and it's hard to believe a little over 3 weeks ago on a weekend, we had 50-degree temperatures. So it's amazing about how it's all over the place. And one thing I do appreciate about Iowa so much is that we have distinct four seasons, and it is just it's a good thing. I as I get older, I can't say I enjoy scooping that snow, but I tell you what, we are getting a workout with it in the last 2 weeks. So I just hope that today, as you're listening to KBOE 104.9 FM, that if you're traveling down 163 highway today or whatever highway you might be on, you've tuned us in, just be safe out there today. Just be careful. Watch out for the roads. I know there's some slick spots out there, so just be extremely careful as you travel down the highway. Or maybe you're on your way to church this morning and you've turned to sin. We're thankful that you have taken the time to listen to what we have to say today. And I just pray again that it's just something that maybe it's you'll pick up a nugget, or you'll get a glimpse of how the Holy Spirit can work, not only through the scriptures about what we're going to read today, but also too that would change also in your life. And maybe you're simply at home and you're listening. This is your church. We would encourage you to open up to Mark chapter 1 this morning as we get headed into that area. But just a few things that I just want to, announcement-wise, I just want to reiterate, we have men's group in five different locations, and we're studying the book of Mark, and I just would encourage you to get on our vitalministries.org webpage and see the five distinct locations in this area where you can get plugged in, jump into the Bible, get some reflection, get some insight about how the Holy Spirit wants to work and change your life. So just encourage you to be a part of that. We also, too, we send out Vital Men and Vital Women devotionals out 6 days a week. You can get that directly sent to your phone. Again, it's just another opportunity to get some daily inspiration. Just get that good word that comes into you as the different writers that write. We have five different men that write for Vital Men, and we also, too, my wife, she writes for Vital Women. Just some really good stuff. So if you're wanting to get some insight and get some things that I think would be just good for your heart, good for your soul, as we all walk on this path of what we call discipleship. But last week we talked about the good news of the gospel at the beginning of the book of Mark, the good news that translates to that God provided a way of salvation through Jesus Christ, his life, his death, and his resurrection. He was sent. He is the Son of the Father of God, and his name is Jesus. And we just rejoice in who he is and what he has done in our lives. This is the very premises of the gospel, the good news. When you think about it this morning, where does it take you? Do you remember the moment when you met Jesus and you asked him into your heart? Does it bring joy into your heart this morning? I love hearing the testimonies of how people came to Christ, and oftentimes we learn in the stories of addictions, those who have been addicts or those who have been incarcerated or those that have just had those incredible stories of what it means to come to Christ and how God came, and they were incredibly impactful testimonies. But there are also those that are out there who came to Christ, which they didn't have these big things or go the wrong way in distinction, but they lived everyday, ordinary lives. And many of you out there this morning know exactly what I'm talking. You were raised in the church, and you were baptized as an infant, and you had a confession of faith. But yet you very much have a testimony as well, as God loves all of his people, and he protects each one of us individually. Today we're going to talk about the rest of the story, the call on every person who calls Jesus Christ their Lord, and you are now a disciple. By definition, a disciple is a follower, one who accepts the doctrines and the teachings of God. They have a desire to spread the good news of the gospel, and I want to give you five short characteristics this morning before we jump into about what it means to be a disciple. The first one is this, is putting Jesus first in all things. You can go to Mark chapter 8, verses 34 through 38, and it means a disciple is set apart from the world. We put off self-centeredness and put on Christ-centeredness. Number two is this, that following Jesus' teaching, which comes from John chapter 8, verses 34 through 38, we must not only be hearers of the Bible, but we also must be doers. We live it out in our everyday, ordinary lives. We have transformation. The third one is this, is following Jesus, we are fruitful. John chapter 15, 5 through 8, our job is to be fruitful and abide in Christ. When we allow Jesus to lead us, it opens up our hearts to accept fruit from the Holy Spirit. Our lives change, and we are transforming to live to be more like Jesus and how he lived life. Number four is love for the disciples. John chapter 13, verses 34 through 35. It says that we love other people who are members of God's family. Love is not an emotion, folks, but it is an action. It's an action step. And we think more highly of others than we think of ourselves. And number five is we make other disciples through the Great Commission of Matthew chapter 8, verses 28, verses 18 through 20. We share our faith to people who don't know about Jesus. We share about how we have our lives have changed and how he can change theirs. And it's called evangelism, folks, not just a pastor or evangelist, but we're all called into discipleships. These are characteristics of being a disciple for Christ. So I asked you a question this morning. So how are you doing with this? Remember, folks, this is a learning process that each of us step into every day of our lives. But we are all called to go and make disciples. This is the very point of our today's teaching, called to be a disciple. Let's look this morning as we look at men who were called the professionals, that were called into following Jesus, the rabbi, the Christ. And let's begin today, if you're with us this morning. My first point this morning, if you're writing things down, if you're able to, it's the call. And we're going to look at Mark chapter 1, verses 16 through 20 as we begin today. One day as Jesus was walking along the shore of the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew throwing a net into the water, for they fished for a living. Jesus called out to them, "Come, follow me. I will show you how to fish for people." Or fish for men, in many other translations. And they left their nets at once, and they followed him. A little farther up the shore, Jesus saw Zebedee's sons, James and John, in a boat, repairing their nets. He called to them at once, and they also followed him, leaving their father Zebedee in the boat with other hired men. See, Jesus is now on the move, calling of the 12. What jumps to me in this portion of Scripture is the call and who he calls. Instead of calling learned men of the law, the scribes, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, no, he goes after different kinds of students. He goes out and calls the blue-collar fishermen in the first four invites, men who have little knowing except for not tying and fish gutting. They were real fishermen. These men were sure of what they were doing, probably learning the skill as young boys. We know that for sure, that James and John were sons of the father Zebedee. They were in a family business of providing fish for their communities. We know from the Bible that these men knew of Jesus. It says that in John chapter 1, verses 35 through 49. Greater portion of text, but we're going to keep going this morning. That Jesus was this carpenter's son. As we know, people. And I think of a man that I know in our community, and many of your listeners today will know who I'm talking about. His name is Steve Boonder, who is a local farmer in our community, a man who has had several sons, truly a man of God, and he lives today. And I know many of his sons, but specifically, I know especially two of his sons, B.J. Boonder and Mark Boonder, both good men who work hard and have what I call strong faith. They know me, and I also know them. That's how it was with these four men. Jesus knew them, and he knew who they were. But today, he has this moment. Jesus finds them on a lake casting their nets and fishing. Yet this day will change the very trajectory of their lives. Today, he makes the call, "Come, follow me." We find nowhere in the Bible where the men that he asked ever asked the question, "Well, why should we?" or "Where are you going?" No, at that moment, they drop everything. They weren't had any issues. They weren't pulling back from the call. They step into it. No, they step into the moment and start walking and following the dust of the rabbi. And I just find that so interesting this morning as we look at that. Now, one thing that is very important to recognize in the call is that Jesus spoke with authority. Because he spoke with authority, he was able to call these men from their regular occupations. He made a disruption in their worldly call, being fishermen, to a call, a godly call, to be fishers of men. Now, this word fishers of men was known at that time. It was a common description. Matter of fact, oftentimes philosophers and teachers would use this wording. They would capture men's minds through teaching and persuasion. They would bait the hook. It's like that of the 7 of the 12 disciples themselves were actually fishermen. So you might be asking the question this morning, so Mike, why fishermen? Why would they be good at going out and winning souls? See, these men were courageous, and they had the ability to work with other people. They also had to be patient. Any fisherman knows that patience is a big deal. They also would have to have good energy. I pray for that every morning, that God would give me good energy. And that's how it was for these men. They had good energy. They also had to have stamina. Enduring long nights of fishing would create stamina in your life. It also would require faith and tenacity. We need more men and women today like that, living faithful lives and the tenacity to fight through their struggles. Professional fishermen are men who would go out, and they were men who aren't quitters or complainers. This is what Jesus saw in these men, not mere fishermen, but men who would stay the course, stay in the fight. And without a doubt, these men had their own idiosyncrasies, just as the gospel and the writers point out in each of these 12 men. I have a friend of mine whose name is Skip Jackson, and many of you might recognize his name. He's a sprint car man who's been on the track for many, many years, and since then has retired. But when I first met Skip, it was the night of the beginning of the Knoxville Nationals. The best of the best were there, men who race for a living. That night, Skip was racing. It was on a Monday night, and Skip was racing for placement for a class. He shared with me that night that he had never had a front row participant ever in the first race, that he would race multiple times during the week in hopes of making that big night of the Knoxville National Race, the Front Row Challenge. Now, I'm not much into racing. I'm not a big race fan, but this is what I know. It was something that lit him up, and many, many people who are listening today are out there big, avid race fans. But that night, I was called to be with Skip and next to his car, and he was getting his car ready and waiting anxiously to run his race. And I could see he was focused, he was ready, he was getting his car ready, he was doing all the detail to get ready for the big race of the night. And then it was the call to go out, and he looked at me and asked, and I looked at, you know, Skip, I could tell that he was anxious, so I said, "Hey, Skip, can I pray for you before you go out on the track?" He looked at me and said, "Absolutely, I'll take anything right now." So we prayed and we asked Jesus to, most of all, keep him safe. But I also asked this prayer. I said, "Lord, help him win." You know, you might be asking that, is that an unfair statement? And I don't think so, because I believe that God hears everything. They headed out on the track and made ready. The green flag was waving. Now, bear in mind, he's running with what I call the big dogs, and round they went. I was never more into a race like that I was in that night. He weaved in and out of the track and in between the cars, and now he was in second place. And there he was, all of a sudden, a yellow flag. At that moment, a yellow flag, they always bunch the cars back together and run around the track because there's an accident or something that's happened. And all of a sudden, they're back in alignment and they're ready to head down the track with just a few rounds around the racetrack, and it was the green flag. Skip raced night like none other. In the final lap, I can't believe you can't hardly guess what happened next. He passed the leader. He's now in first place, and he takes the checkered flag. I can't believe it. What a moment. Jesus, folks, without a doubt, answers prayer. And it was an answered prayer for Skip that night. But I want to fast forward as we go past this race into Skip's life. The reason I was there on the track was because, truly was because of Skip's marriage. His marriage was in trouble. It was failing. And I would wish, folks, I could say that it was a happy ending in his marriage, but folks, it didn't. It failed. But what did happen was Skip's life changed. He went on to raise three kids. They stayed with him in Knoxville. And he goes to work every day, and he is an incredible man of God and a great father. He attends Celebrate Church in Knoxville, and he has laid down racing to be a full-time single dad. He's given his life to Jesus, and he is truly a disciple of Christ. Like he would say, because Skip is from Australia, and I love him. He's a great man. And Skip always, when we finish a phone call, he says, "You're a good mate." He is a good mate. Skip has those disciple qualities that Jesus, I believe, seeked out of the 12, and he's still seeking for disciples today. Are you ready for the call? Which brings me to point number two this morning. He came to heal the sick. And as you got your Bibles with you this morning, we're going to look at Mark chapter 1, verses 21 through 28. And this is what it says. Jesus and his companions went to the town of Capernaum. When the Sabbath day came, he went into the synagogue and began to teach. The people were amazed at his teaching, for he taught with real authority, quite unlike the teachers of the religious law. Suddenly, a man in the synagogue who was possessed by an evil spirit began shouting, "Why are you interfering with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are. You're the Holy One of God." Jesus cuts him short. He says, "Be quiet and come out of the man." At that time, the evil spirit screamed, threw the man into a convulsion, and he came out of him. Amazement gripped the audience, and they began to discuss what had happened. "What sort of new teaching is this?" they asked excitedly. "It has such authority. Evil spirits obey his orders." The news about Jesus spread quickly throughout the entire region of Galilee. See, the Gospel of Mark doesn't leave us wondering about the uniqueness of this man called Jesus. He makes sure that we realize that this is the biggest moment in history. And he does it with one word. It's called the Gospel. See, the kingdom of God is spreading. It's taking root into the hearts of people. He was transforming lives by casting out demons and healing the sick. God is at work creating a people, which means the face of discipleship and changing the hearts of people. Jesus did not come to change their circumstances, but to transform their hearts. I want to say that again so you catch that this morning, again in 2019, because I believe it's so true. Jesus did not come to change your circumstances, but to transform your heart. Too often we come to Jesus with just wanting to be physically healed if you're probably in for a disappointment. And in the reality, can Jesus still heal today? Yes, without a doubt he can. He's still also in the heart business, but I believe he's more interested of how he can transform your heart, just like he did 2,000 years ago. We don't hear much about casting out demons, even though they are very much at work today and work amongst people. And we don't necessarily hear about healings as much as we do in third world countries. But yet Jesus met the people in that day with their immediate needs. The religious sect was powerless, more about religion than they were about relationship. They were all about the duty and about works, instead about love and compassion for people. Sad to say, it seems that not much has changed since that time when Jesus was here. The same religious leaders are doing, oftentimes, I believe, the same things. Folks, I believe Jesus wants us to live the call of discipleship. And as my son would say, Brandon, he wants you to live a better story. And I love that about my son, and he just does such a great job about talking about it. But see, living a better story moves you to the miraculous. We don't need to fear the demonic in the world, because my Bible says greater is he that is in the world than he that is of the world. That's the same spirit that Jesus fills us. We have the power to pray over people who face demonic oppression, but we can say, "Get behind me, Satan," but you have to walk with the Spirit, folks, and have faith. Which brings me to point number three this morning is about the power of solidarity. And look, I'm going to jump a little bit further in Scripture, and we're going to look at verses 35 through 39. It says this, "Before daybreak the next morning, Jesus got up and went out to the isolated place to pray. Later, Simon and the others went out to find him. When they found him, they said, 'Everyone is looking for you.' But Jesus replied, 'We must go to the other towns as well, and I will preach to them too. That is why I came.' So he traveled throughout the region of Galilee, preaching in the synagogues and casting out demons." See, folks, we see Jesus getting alone time with the Father. It says Jesus got up while it was still dark, getting away from the crowds. He would get up in the morning when the dew was just collecting on the grass. The stars were still seen in the sky, and yet the sun was on the crest of the horizon, a bare line of light that was coming over the horizon. I saw a few of those mornings while I was visiting Israel in the Sea of Galilee, and I will soon be there again, going from March 8 through the 18th. But my mind would go to that portion of Scripture, wondering how it must have been in the time of Christ. I experienced beautiful sunrises while Jesus was there. My eyes would still have the images in my mind, and it's still even there this morning as I stand. I can see that place. The very place where Jesus walked the planet and cast his eyes to the east that I experienced as well. See, Jesus got alone time with the Father, but he also stays focused on why he came, to bring salvation to a broken world. He purposely set aside alone time, a time to prepare his day, because he knew the distractions would come. How often in our times do we get alone with Jesus to prepare our hearts for the day? For those who call him Lord, prepare for ministry every day in our everyday ordinary lives. This includes in all that we do, but it takes a long time to be able to do that. For a mother who raises her children, she gets up early and she takes that special time between her and the Lord. Or maybe the person who goes out, the white and the blue collar professionals that go out and do their everyday job. Folks, it's important, it's essential that we get that alone time with Jesus. I have found in my own life that alone time is hard to take. You have to fight for it. Make a choice to take it. Put it in your planner or put it on your phone to get alone with Jesus and just sit with him. When was the last time that you had alone time? It's important to Christ that we should take those moments to get away. You know, this past week I had some alone time. I was sitting in my bedroom, and I have this little desk space where I always go and I read the Bible, and I get time to where I can really focus. And again I do the 1 year Bible, and I read the Old Testament, I read the New Testament, it gives me a portion of a Psalm and also to a Proverb, and that has been what I do. That is what I do in my everyday life. And I just encourage you folks to find a rhythm, something that works for you. And then I was going to have this time where I was going to sit and pray and just get alone with Jesus. And I find how often distractions come. And when I was sitting there, we have a Bernese Mountain Dog, and we just love her to death. And all of a sudden, I'm hearing her. She's gasping, and she's convulsing, and in her stomach, she's pressing. And I've been around her enough to know she's about to throw up. So immediately, I stop what I'm doing. I turn around. I pay attention to her. I take care of her. I clean up the mess. But all of a sudden, now there has become a distraction, something that has broken my time, my alone time with Jesus. And I use that example for you, for folks this morning, is this, because we always have some sort of distractions. All of us face them. A lot of times they could be our very cell phones that we carry. Maybe they're the busyness of life itself. Sometimes it's simply people. Sometimes it's our anxiousness in life. These are just a few this morning that create what I would call distractions in our lives. But see, Jesus also had same distractions as well. But it was important for him to get alone with the Father, because throughout the day, he would do the miraculous. He would cast out demons. He would be helping transform the hearts of people and healing the sick, and also, too, raising the dead. See, that takes focus. That takes alone time with the Lord. And that's by him doing so made it for us that it should be important for us today. So I want you to think about this morning. When was the last time that you got alone with the King in the presence of Jesus? I want you to allow some time, even today, to where you might enter his presence. Maybe you're driving down the highway, and after you get done listening to this podcast, I encourage you, just turn your radio off and just listen as you're driving down the highway. Just try to get some focus. Or maybe you're at home. I encourage you, when this is over, close your Bible, take 15 minutes of reflection, just get away alone with the Lord. Or maybe you're headed on your way to church when you get done. I just encourage you on your Sunday afternoon. Yes, I know there's all kinds of football games as we all enjoy the NFL playoffs, but I just encourage you, folks, get away from the distractions. Allow Jesus to speak to your heart. He's there. He wants you. He wants time with you. That is the transforming power of what Jesus can do in your life, is when you take moments of listening. Will you pray with me this morning? Dear Jesus, again, I want to thank you for this day and the opportunity that we can jump into the book of Mark, where we get this fast-paced actions of how you did life. But as we read from moment of how the writer wrote, but you also took times where you got alone. You got alone with the Father. You spent time alone, and your men would come looking for you. And you got away because you got away from the distractions, because you wanted to be focused on the call of your life. It was an example to us to do the same, because we all have a call. We're just not put on the planet just by happening, but by something that you want to do special for us. But it takes moments where we simply get away, and we take moments of getting along with you. Lord, I just pray today, help us to take those times of reflection. And when we do, Lord, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would speak to our hearts. We thank you, Jesus, for who you are, that you are the Son of the living God. And we praise you this morning. In your name I pray. Amen. Folks, we're going to continue our series in the book of Mark. And if you want some prep work before we go, we're going to be doing chapter 2 next week. We're going to get some incredible insight, some things what Jesus does that is incredible. And I just encourage you this morning to do some preparing as we get ready to continue our series in the book of Mark. And I just want to thank you for listening. This is Mike Sarig, the voice of Vital Ministries.